Hey everyone, as you are well aware, I enjoy debunking pseudoscience and charlatans of all varieties. And one area I have yet to tackle is pseudo-archaeology.
Well, you've been asking for it. Well, maybe not you specifically. A lot of you did say I should just leave this alone, but plenty of you have asked for it. And so let's take a gander at the video that Professor Dave guy made. I don't mean the Professor David Miano. That's the real Professor Dave. This guy is Professor Dave Explains. He's a little bit on the vitriolic side and kind of a, just be forewarned, this video's, he's rotten, okay? He's just a rotten person. Now, I don't personally feel like I need to respond with his equal degree of rottenness. I feel like that's just an emotional way for him to cover up for his complete lack of research, which we will go over in detail, which is honestly one of the reasons this video took so long to make. His video's 2 hours long. As I started cutting it up into pieces to respond to, it's like almost every single point had either some error in it, like glaring error in logic or glaring error in like actual facts. So I had to cherry pick, otherwise we would be here all day. And I do think it's also worth pointing out that, you know, even though me and David Miano don't get along real well, we're not like going to be, you know, godfathering each other's children or anything like that, we can at least have an exchange without it seeming like one of us wants to kill the other person. But with this Professor Dave, oh boy. So seriously, be forewarned going into this. This guy is, he's not a very kind person. Also be forewarned going into this, if you're like one of those guys, it's all team science, and you're about to see some yin-yang flip-floppityness going on here, because I'm going to show you a fire and brimstone preacher for team science, and I'm going to show you some logic and scientific data from Team Woo. So strap yourselves in. Hi, my name is Dan, and welcome to Dedunking.
Most people know what archaeology is. It's the study of human history through its material remains. We dig up ancient cities and learn about our past through the structures and artifacts we find. This is science, and archaeologists are scientists who follow a rigid empirical methodology.
No, that's not how archaeology works. They play fast and loose with the facts. But I'll bring receipts so we don't have to argue about it. Later in the video, Professor Dave highlights the carbon dating of the Great Pyramid and the other 4th Dynasty edifices. He puts it on the screen, and he uses the data gathered by the late 90s expeditions financed by David Koch. Now, this expedition and the other expedition financed by the Edgar Cayce Foundation about a decade earlier both show the entire 4th Dynasty to be carbon dated between 150 to 250 years older than the written records state that they are. But the written records of ancient Egypt, the King's List, this is considered to be some of the most robust written records that we have of those times. So how do they reconcile this? Well, what they do is they assert, without evidence, that, you know, there was some old wood that the Egyptians, for the entire 4th Dynasty, they just gathered old wood, and that's what they used. And they had a big burn, maybe, and used that to get the ash for all of the mortar that they made for the next entire dynasty. And so you'd assume they have a burn pit or some writing saying that that's not it at all. There is no rigorous freaking empirical shit going on here. All there is these guys have a book and hard data that disagrees with that book. And they dismiss the hard data in favor of what the book says. Now, I want you to think for a second and see if you can draw any parallels with that in the real world. Just put your head to it for a minute and see if anything comes up that you might think, I know some other people who reject hard data in favor of what's written in a book. Is that rigorous scientific empirical? Dave, insert your insult thingy here. I'm not going to bother.
There was a time when pseudo-archaeology was limited to ancient aliens on the History Channel. That's right, the guy with the crazy hair we all laughed at. His name is Giorgio Tsokalos. He was silly, and the show was silly.
And here we begin to prove, without a doubt, that Dave did, like, no research. Like, didn't even open a page of Google to check most of the facts that he conjured up along the way. Graham Hancock wrote The Sign and the Seal, his first real bestseller, in the late 80s. By 1995... I had Fingerprints of the Gods pre-ordered, and I wasn't even 21 yet. I had Fingerprints of the Gods pre-ordered from Hastings. By the year 2000, Fingerprints of the Gods had sold millions of copies. Millions of copies. By the time Ancient Aliens launched in 2009, Graham Hancock was the number one Atlantis bro on the planet. He was well known as the number one alternate historian on the planet, hands down, by a country mile. And this stuff was popular enough that he was selling number one best-selling books. Multiple number one bestsellers. But you're going to pretend that it just showed up in Ancient Aliens times? Well, of course, because you didn't really care to look any of this up. You just, like, make up this backstory because it's like just an RPG, and Dave's just over there going, you know, it would be a cool backstory for this guy if I was just to make up a charlatan. It's just like, much like the archaeologists and historians when they're trying to reconcile that carbon dating I talked about in the last little segment, you just kind of make some shit up to make stuff fit, right? Science.
But with these baseless anti-establishment narratives becoming increasingly popular amongst the public, and so very few experts in the field making even casual attempts to expose his fraudulence, we've arrived at the point where this nonsense needs to be aggressively addressed.
If Dave had done a least bit of research, he would realize there are numerous archaeologists and other scientists that have debunked Hancock for decades, but Dave didn't do any research, so his entire backstory of this is just completely built on a bullshit foundation. And there's a reason for this, and that's because while atheism is not a religion, the psychological things that religions tend to use to manipulate and control people still exist in atheists. The same psychological linchpins and underpinnings and all that kind of crap, whatever the word you want to use for it is, you can still manipulate an atheist with things like appeal to authority, where a Christian might say the pastor would never do that because he's a man of God. An atheist might say, scientists are searching for evidence and, you know, they're honest and they're trying to find the truth. And neither one respecting the fact that this is a human being, and some humans are just fucking ugly, man. And even ones that are good tend to have a little bad streak here and there, don't they, Dave? So it's almost like when they say atheism is a religion, and they're going to get a lot of pushback, and I can understand why, but there are parts of atheism that are very religious-like, and one of them is the way that it treats people that are in lab coats like they're men of the cloth. And Professor Dave is one of those. And honestly, I think it's important that we point out that when you accept people doing a job like being a scientist, even when they're emotional, it's a lot like accepting a police officer doing their job even when they are emotional, okay? And they're going to get angry quicker, or just as quick as your average person would. If you can't restrain yourself some in a situation that is escalating violence, maybe don't be a cop. And if you can't restrain your ego some when you're like reading things that you disagree with, maybe don't be a scientist, or at least don't be one that goes and talks on the internet and ruins the public face of science. Because let's be clear, emotional blah and science do not mix. But our boy Dave here?
Yes, Graham, we get it. Until the very last stone on Earth is overturned, you'll be clinging to this Atlantis of the Gaps bullshit. But you'll have to shut up for a while, since Flint has a lot of actual science to teach you.
Yeah. An emotional, fire and brimstone atheist that has transferred the authority that he used to give, or that people like him would give, to a pastor, and he just gives that shit to a lab coat. It's kind of pathetic.
Why would we listen to archaeologists about archaeology instead of some clueless jerk? The scholar that would be representing the legitimate archaeology community is Flint Dibble. He is an archaeological scientist and ancient historian who specializes in environmental archaeology from the Stone Age to the medieval period across the Mediterranean, with a focus on the ancient Greek world.
Well, now you know where Dave got his data from. The archaeologist that doesn't study pyramids or, you know, Turkey or ancient Egypt, he studies seeds. And food and dick bones. That's what Flint Dibble is into. But since he is a member of the cloth, Dave will allow him to speak for the rest of the clergy, even though he is regurgitating things that he may or may not understand well, and information that he selectively gathered in order to win a debate. Let's be clear, which is not exactly a very scientific way to gather the information, is it? Which is why it was so easy for me to prove him wrong as wrong could be, and a little intellectually dishonest, a lot intellectually dishonest. But again, Dave can't abide this. This is a member of the cloth. You can't sully this person. This person is perfect. He is a good guy fighting the bad guy. How can you possibly not think that he is a source of truth? So I'll explain this so that even the children can understand. I was an electrician for a long time. I never worked as a lineman. So while a lineman is an electrician, and I'm an electrician, even if a lineman was to explain some of their things to me, I would very much not completely get it, because I've been in bucket trucks working on lights. I've never been in a bucket truck working on 20,000 volts. A little bit different, just a touch. So you can't really lean on me to do one thing, and you couldn't really ask the lineman to wire things up to code on my end. You put him into a dental office and say, hey, man, go wire that station in, and he's going to look at it and go, I'll bring power to it. He could probably get that far. And he might be able to do the rest, too, without knowing how code works and all of that stuff. Now, I could get killed. He could fail inspection. Point is, neither one of us knows how to do the other guy's job, even though we're both electricians. Do you follow the metaphor, Dave, or do I need to dumb this down to Teletubby levels? Now, see how much fun this is? This is great, right? You throw all these horrible insults at me, and every now and again, I get to kind of, like, pepper one back in there. I love making responses to you. I do not. This is so terrible.
Flint is one of the very few scientists who has pushed back against this movement, primarily in the form of a debate with Graham Hancock on Joe Rogan's show.
Again, Flint is one of the many scientists that have criticized Graham Hancock over the years, but you have to do basic, rudimentary first page of Google research to figure this shit out. Right, Dave? Good job.
Given that Graham's Atlantis bullshit is derived directly from fictional Greek narrative, Flint is quite capable of dissecting Graham's fraudulence.
Now, I just address this line of reasoning. His expertise in seeds and phallus bones of various animals does not qualify Flint to weigh in on ancient literature in any expert capacity. Furthermore, you've poisoned the well by stating Plato's Atlantis narrative is fictional, something that cannot be proven and is debatable. Plato was trying to make a point, trying to convince his contemporaries of an idea. Now, let me ask you, have you ever heard anybody say something like, oh, the West is falling, or some other thing along those lines? Do they not use Rome as the metaphor, or do they use like Harry Potter or Forgotten Realms universes, right? No? Why do they use Rome? Because it was real, and they're trying to convince real people of a real thing that they're worried about, not some fake idea. So, with that in mind, it's very easy to argue that Plato used Atlantis because him and his contemporaries alike had been taught that there was a lost ancient civilization that came before them. Now, I can't prove this, so I won't declare it as factual, because I kind of do like science. I kind of treat the scientific method as like a way of thinking that you can actually use to skeptically interrogate the universe, to quote this guy that I wouldn't dare put on a pulpit, but I would say he had some pretty good ideas. Maybe you've heard of it.
Dan Richards is a clown who has been cashing in on the pseudo-archaeology grift as of late, starting purely as a Hancock fanboy, but now making some noise of his own thanks to several appearances on Joe Rogan.
And those of you who've been watching me for a while probably died laughing at this part. This is absolute bullshit. My very first videos were on Milo Rossi and on Stefan Milo, and I openly disagreed with Graham Hancock right off the bat. In one of my very earliest videos, you could even find me playing the guitar like this.
12,000 years ago, only one pile of beach rock could save humanity from certain destruction. Revving up your engines, listen to the howling roar.
Tom Cruise stars in
something. Yeah, touch and go. It's a highway.
Stone Age aircraft
carrier. We're gonna take right in to the danger zone.
Now, obviously, this is all a big joke right there. The Bimini Road is it is by far the worst evidence Graham Hancock could ever drag out here. It is by far the worst evidence he could drag out here. As a matter of fact, this episode makes me bristle when I watch it, especially where he ends up taking it.
Highway to the...
I disagree with Graham Hancock publicly and immediately upon showing up in the scene. just 10 days ago, I was in Sedona on stage with him, and like one of the first things that Graham said to me was, you've even debunked me before. And I have been debunking pseudoscience for a very long time, including some of the words of Graham Hancock when it comes up. I was friends with Milo Rossi almost from day one of me making videos. I was friends with Flint Dibble. I got along well with many archaeologists. Some of my earliest Patreon supporters were archaeologists. As I went forward, when I started challenging the Atlantis hunting is rooted in racism narrative with facts and data, and they were like, Flint himself says, doesn't really matter, you know, it's like, it's close enough, it doesn't really matter what he says, because it's close enough. The narrative is the narrative, bro, my book is the book, hard data don't mean shit. That didn't fly with me, and that was kind of the beginning of the deterioration of our whole friendship thing, but according to Professor Dave's version of events, I went after Flint right off the bat. I was like, yay, Graham Hancock, I'll be your attack dog, and I went after Flint. And when I was done with that, I was like, oh, shit, nobody's watching my videos. I'll go after Milo Rossi, and then Milo estranged me, too, and it's like, dude, no, Milo quit being my buddy because I told him that Flint Dibble was a piece of shit, and Flint Dibble is a piece of shit. Sorry. How much did he pay you to make this, by the way?
He couldn't convert Joe's audience into his own, so absolutely nobody is watching his content, as there is nothing of substance to engage with. He built his entire persona on harassing Flint, so when Flint stopped engaging, Dan just moved on to other targets, such as Milo Rossi of the channel Mini Minuteman.
See, again, easily proven false with basic research, but Dave doesn't do basic research. He listens to someone else, either his own biases or his pastor.
Dan has precisely zero experience with archaeology. He is a former electrician without documentation who falsely claimed to be a member of his respective trade organization and was called out for it.
You've got no archaeological experience either, Dave, and, I almost left this part of the video out because it's a personal attack and my ego is not really what's on trial here. I mean, it kind of was tested when I was, like, editing and putting this all together and writing the script, but I left this part in for one reason, because this is technically libel. I mean, I could technically sue the man. I'm not going to, just don't, right off the bat, I'm not going to do that. But, dude, I never claimed to be a union electrician, and this is the kind of thing that could get my ass kicked, okay? I could be at a bar and somebody be like, hey, you are a scab and you claim to be a union electrician. Whoa, 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 whoa. I would never claim to be a union electrician. I've never had an IBEW card. I've never worked a union gig. Not once. I've always been what everybody calls a scab. But in most states, man, your residential electrician, as far as I'm aware, in every state in the country, all your residential electricians are non-union, and a huge chunk of your commercial electricians are non-union. The union guys do airports and hospitals and schools. And the non-union guys do dentist offices and endoscope stations and houses. That's how it's been for, like, ever, as far as I'm aware. So, licensed, bonded, insured does not mean union, and I've never said that I was a member of IBEW. And, Dave, you should do better research than that, you formaldehyde, felching, flamestick courier. God, I absolutely love doing response videos to somebody that I can just use my favorite horrible insults on. I mean, that's so much better than discussing data and logic and facts and ancient history. Let's just yell at each other and call it team science. Where's my beer?
Even worse than Dan is another grifter named Jimmy Corsetti. He is essentially a professional internet troll. Here is a quick montage of some of his behavior on Twitter. He makes overtly sexist comments, blatantly racist comments, and is generally a complete douchebag.
No sexism or racism in the posts that Dave shows, but since Dave shows such crappy graphics, boring shit on his screen anyway, odds are most of his viewers don't watch his videos, they listen to his videos, so he doesn't really have to show evidence, does he? He can just say Jimmy's a sexist and Jimmy's a racist, and then wonder why guys like Jimmy get so fucking angry at guys like him that they have, like, really low tolerance for bullshit and say some pretty spicy stuff themselves in response. Imagine being called a racist and a sexist and getting angry about that. I can't fucking get it. It's so weird.
Upon its release, Flint himself described the show as a declaration of war on archaeologists.
Yeah, you use him as a source for yourself rather than actually, like, doing basic research. And that's very obvious because you've got the entire backstory of all this wrong. According to you and a handful of boneheads like you, it all started when Graham swung back. Graham swung back, all right? These guys have been going after Graham for decades. When he finally started openly, like, punching back,
It's a war on archaeology itself. My God. Time to rally the defenses. It's almost like a war on Christmas. You better get everybody together. It's a war on tradition. Dave, you are an emotional panderer who is the opposite end of the horseshoe you seek to fight. You suck, jackass.
Without going into tremendous detail, it's a pseudo-scientific rampage in which he proposes that a highly technologically advanced global ice age civilization was destroyed in a cataclysmic flood and is thus easily connected to the myth of Atlantis.
He does not posit that they were highly technologically advanced. That's a straw man. He does believe in some like potential spiritual stuff, and he does believe that they were more technologically advanced than I would say that they probably were. However, I know, here I am again, disagreeing with Graham Hancock, even though I'm supposed to be just like Graham Hancock's little guy. The fact of the matter is, technologically, Graham does have a pretty good smoking gun. He's got some maps that show longitude with better accuracy than we should have, because it takes two working clocks that keep good time in order to get longitude accurately. Yet we have some very old maps with good longitude. Maps that predate timepieces that were said to have been gathered from earlier source maps. And you can disregard these maps. You can say, this is all bullshit, it doesn't fit in with anything, blah, blah, blah. And that's fine. If you really want to go down that road, you can. But I would point out that the only professional cartographers to have ever reviewed these maps did so a while ago, like 50, 60 years ago, and they came to the conclusion that they did in fact show Antarctica and that they did in fact have good longitude. Now, you can disagree with that, but I would point out that it's really funny how your appeals to authority die the second that you disagree with what the expert has to say. He's no longer a member of the cloth. Cast him out.
In response to this travesty of a series, the Society for American Archaeology wrote an open letter to Netflix, basically saying, "Hey Netflix, what the fuck are you doing? This show is sensationalist garbage full of lies that does nothing but disparage and insult the legitimate archaeological community. 1. Graham shits on archaeology every chance he gets, the topic he is pretending to investigate without a shred of concern for how archaeologists are affected. 2. Stop calling it a docuseries. It's a pile of horse manure. And 3. It's racist as shit to pretend that indigenous people were idiots who can't possibly have developed the things they definitely did develop, so they must have had them given to them by white people or aliens. You make racist people even more racist."
Now, this letter betrays so much. First of all, they cry about their reputation before they lament the public being misinformed, as that they fear Graham is doing. But the worst part is the accusations of racism. Graham is not claiming indigenous people could not do it without white people. In fact, he believes the Atlantis civilization most came from Africa or South America, far from Europe. And the mysteries that him and others like myself hone in on, these are not based on the people being indigenous or not. They're based on a lack of records. Now, racism does come into play here, but it's not the fault of the amateur historian. The issue is, the records were destroyed in most of these cases by the officials, by the people with letters next to their name, by the people who acted in official capacity, who had the ability to gatekeep knowledge and say that this is how it should be. Those people went and burnt all their freaking records in many areas of the world, destroyed them in the name of God and King and country, in the name of we must stop people from thinking a certain direction before they destroy the entire world. Dave, I wonder if I've ever heard anybody say anything like that before.
This is a toxic, childish attitude that has the potential to bring about the end of human civilization.
Now take Baalbek, for example. In Lebanon, said to have been built by the Romans, we don't have written records of when the big trilithon stones were made, and the three stones that are still in the ground, so we have a mystery, and since there's a lack of written records, people come in and talk about it. You're kind of hard-pressed to find somebody going, Atlantis and the Parthenon. Parthenon was built by Atlanteans. You don't really find that, because we got fucking good records for the Parthenon. We know when it was built and all that jazz. You know who built it and why. Malta. There's all those temples on Malta. Malta is also Honkyville. Right? All the white peoples in Malta. But, I mean, what? Because we don't have written records for Gigantea, Graham used it on Ancient Apocalypse. This is the stuff that you guys conveniently ignore.
when you make your accusations of racism, and then you wonder why we get angry about it. It's like, dude, this is... The racism involved came from people burning books. The racism involved came from long ago, and it came from the people long ago who had the attitude of, we must stomp out wrongthink wherever it exists. Do you know anyone like that, Dave?
Here he complains about the implication that his show shouldn't have been made, because what about the tens of millions of viewers? Can't they make up their own minds? No, dumbass, they can't. They know even less about archaeology than you do. When you tell them stories they want to hear, they believe you, because that's how people are.
Just like I was saying, look at this crap. What kind of ivory tower, I'm better than all of you bullshit is this? I mean, this is no better than the homophobes of the late 70s that were saying, you know what, we have to make sure that even though, yeah, okay, on paper, what two consenting adults do in the privacy of their own homes, no big deal, but we can't, you know what happened to society? And then you fall right in line with the same line of thinking, dude. This is the exact same kind of thing, dude. You don't get to go around telling people what they can and can't think, what they should and shouldn't think, or, my God, imagine, you don't have to imagine because history tells us. Imagine writing a book in the 1930s, and you're like, oh, I want to write a book that's got some spicy sex scenes that are a little bit on the gay side of town. How would that have flown if you were publishing that book in America in the 1950s? Is that the kind of fucking thinking you want to be in line with? Oh, it's okay to do that shit when it's your team doing it, when it's the thing is right? Dude, this is why we have like basic rights and stuff, is because you can't, because that it's okay for me, but not okay for you. Ivory tower, ego-driven bullshit, Dave, is bullshit. My God, you are the most disgusting person I have had the privilege of responding to yet. I mean, seriously, get help.
It's not controlling the narrative to push back on fraudulent claims, because science is not a narrative. It's an empirical process.
Archaeology is not an empirical process. There are empirical parts of it. But by and large, if you're using empirical in the traditional evidence-based sense, hard data-based sense, it's not empirical. At times it is, but generally speaking, it's not. For example, when we take two pieces of pottery or two arrowheads and we compare them to each other, you take a Clovis point and a Folsom point, compare them to each other. This is done by eye, okay? If they're both made from the same stone, this is done by eye, completely by eye. Now, there's rules, generally speaking, but this is no-brainer shit, man. This is no-brainer shit. That is not the same as an empirical process, okay? When you, like, look, when Darwin is looking at his finches, to allude to the real Professor Dave's video, because, yes, I'm still coming to get to the real Professor Dave. This clown just standing in the way for a minute. Your spanking is coming. But when Darwin looked at those finches, right, this was not empirical. This is not like, this is how it is. Which is evidenced much later when so much work had been done by this, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, we got DNA, and well, some of these guys that we thought were related aren't, and some of these guys that we thought weren't related are. Oops. Almost like there's truly empirical data, and then there's like kind of, you know, soft science, like the difference between brain scans and the self-reporting of psychology.
During this time, Flint was harassed to a revolting degree, much of it prompted from Jimmy Corsetti, who publicly and repeatedly claimed that Flint was faking the cancer diagnosis in order to dodge the debate.
I know that Jimmy personally wishes that he hadn't said what he said. I also know that he really didn't like being called a racist. Now, I wasn't part of the community at this point, so I didn't get to roll in the mud. But I would say that I wouldn't say that Flint was lying about his cancer, nor would I call Jimmy a racist. And if I said either one of those things, I would expect the person that I'd said it about to come after me with both barrels. And that is fucking what happened. And since you guys still continue to call Jimmy a racist, or myself even, I mean, in this video, you fucking call me a climate denier, Dave. I am on the record as having said that I do not feel comfortable challenging climate scientists specifically because there's skin in the game, as opposed to archaeology, where if the entire world was to believe that aliens built the pyramids, Not a goddamn thing would change tomorrow. I've said this about climate science and about medical science. So, anyway, I digress. But my point is, Dave, is that you just lump everybody all into one big old fucking mess and you call us all the fucking bad things at once. And because of that, you and Flint both can take turns licking the snot off of the end of my proboscis. I mean, I do like making videos about you, Dave. You fucking
suck. I hate you. My claim is that he ignores most of the evidence for hunter-gatherers in the Ice Age, which is...
He ignores it or that he doesn't focus on it as much as he's focused on this ancient advanced civilization?
I mean, I think that's one and the same. I think if you're going to look at the Ice Age, we need to look at the totality of evidence to understand what's there.
Joe doesn't like what he's hearing about his boy here. Flint says Graham ignores archaeological data. There were hunter-gatherers in the Ice Age. Archaeologists study them and know a lot about them. Graham doesn't give a shit about science, so he doesn't talk about what we know. Joe's not getting it. Is Graham just not focusing on this because he's focused on the crap he makes up? Flint tells Joe that's the same thing. Fabricating claims about the Ice Age involves ignoring everything we know about the Ice Age that proves him wrong.
Now, Graham has stated numerous times for over three decades now that hunter-gatherers and his hypothetical lost civilization coexisted at the same time. The claim that this means he is ignoring the data of the hunter-gatherer civilization that we do know existed for sure is about the same as if you go back 100 years and you've got a guy who says, I believe the Vikings were the people who discovered the Americas, not Columbus. And you could say, well, you're just ignoring the evidence of Columbus. Is that how that works? No, of course not. He's looking down a different route. I covered the Namelap people a while back. And when they found the legends of this, they went and started looking for the place. And they found the place, and then they discovered this tribe that was lost. And so, by Dave's metrics, by Flint's metrics, the people that were doing that were ignoring the existence of the tribes that they already knew existed in the region. This is the stupidest, most simplistic, most infantile. Honestly, I'll probably never respond to this guy again because of this kind of stuff here. That's why it took so long to make this video. It was so full of just this kind of stupid, stupid shit that it's like, do I even bother? But I have to include a couple of them because it's not just his chubby cheeks, man. It's his head. The man is a baby.
At different times, he's described that civilization that he's looking for from 12,000 years ago, it was advanced as, say, our own civilization in the late 18th or early 19th century. And so, you know, as an archaeologist, we study technology, we study the material remains of the past. And so I wonder what we're trying to look for, right?
Essentially, what the hell are you implying with this 19th century claim, and why haven't we found anything even remotely like that? In the 19th century, we invented the steam engine, railroads, the telegraph, the telephone, cars, light bulbs, photography, the cotton gin, and steel. That's some good shit. Is that what you're talking about, Graham? You think some civilization from 12,000 years ago had stuff like that? Then why can't you pull a 14,000-year-old steel beam out of the ground, Chief?
Graham has changed his position over time, something that science also does. But when science does it, you know, it's scientific method. When Graham does it, it's backpedaling. But at any rate, Graham has changed his position on this stuff a few times, but ultimately he has consistently said that it's about the map making, the longitude, as I mentioned earlier, as Dave would have sussed if he had actually done the very most rudimentary amount of research. But he didn't. He asked Flint Dibble, who also does not like Graham Hancock, so he got some tainted information. Here's a little bit of advice for you there, Super Dave. When a scientist has been heavily accused of lying, maybe investigate that shit before you just like go blah and defend that scientist, because there might be a reason the scientist was accused of lying. But you can't challenge a man of the cloth. My God. Better move his church, Dave. Better change his university, I mean, right? Better so he doesn't get crucified by the locals. Nice company you keep, bro.
Graham has mentioned that the bulk of marine archaeology has focused on shipwrecks and not the continental shelves. And so the thing is, at this point, we have something like 3 million shipwrecks from around the world. And so one of my questions for Graham is, if this is a global civilization with ships, why is it that we don't have shipwrecks from this global civilization? I see this as a big, big problem. If we're looking for a civilization that's traversing the oceans, we should find these shipwrecks. And similarly, these shipwrecks are located near the coast. They're located on the submerged continental shelves. We are actually exploring these submerged continental shelves in detail. We're able to find scattered ephemeral shipwrecks, but not monuments of some sort of civilization.
Well, Flint, obviously it's because the Atlanteans were so super awesome that they never ever crashed or lost a single ship. Did you ever think of that, Mr. Smarty Pants? Thanks for giving me an idea for my next episode of Bullshit from My Aging Rectum, a Netflix original series.
Here we go again. Lies about statistics, lies about data, lies about how long it takes a ship to deteriorate underwater. My friend, Sam Urban, illegitimate scholar. He happens to be a trained anthropologist with a specialty in shipwrecks, and he covered this in detail. So if you want to see some scientific data from a scientist, a guy who knows what he's talking about, even more than a hairy electrician, and he still says that Flint was full of shit, knock yourself out. Or Dave, you can go put your head in the sand and pretend that this is one of the bad preachers and he doesn't deserve his time on the pulpit. Your choice.
I just wanted to end by saying, look, you know, archaeologists, what we find is what we publish, right? We are not trying to keep stuff hidden. If I found Atlantis, I would publish Atlantis. Klaus Schmidt found Göbekli Tepe. He published Göbekli Tepe. And so I think that that's really important. We want to change and rewrite history. That's how we make a name for ourselves. Every article I have published and most of my colleagues have published is something that is adding and changing our picture of the past. We're not locked in on a specific narrative. What we're trying to do is update the picture of the past for each other, for our colleagues, and for people all around the world.
This is probably the most important point that needs to be made, which is depressing because it's so mind-numbingly obvious that it really shouldn't have to be made at all. The idea that the archaeological community would be suppressing the discovery of a lost civilization is the most idiotic notion imaginable. Why? Why would any archaeologist do this? Why would any institution do this? What is the motive? What purpose would it serve? With most other areas of pseudoscience, we can at least identify some half-assed narrative that could trick a few people. Big Pharma is hiding cures so they can make money. Big Oil is hiding the engine that runs on water so they can make money. What the fuck is the explanation here? There are ruins and archaeologists don't want them found. Why? I genuinely can't come up with a single thing. It's so dumb. Archaeologists want to find things. Museums want to display things. It advances the field. It's lucrative. Anyone who falls for this dogmatic establishment bullshit from Graham really needs to take a long look in the mirror because it's a total farce.
Now, this is a long-winded tirade, but I left it in because it's important, because it shows why we need to not let the Clovis First debacle or the Folsom debacle, which preceded it and was very similar, to be lost from memory. Because this isn't about some cabal of archaeologists that have perfected this narrative that they're hiding evidence to protect because there's some secret society bullshit going on, or they're hiding the Ark of the Covenant or giant bones or anything. This is just emotional hubris, ego-driven bullshit. And this is why it's very important that we expect better than that from our scientists, Dave. We need to expect them to not be emotional tool bags, for fuck's sake, man. But the thing is we know what happens when they get emotional about things. Planck's principle is very clear on that. Max Planck, and he's the guy that was a Nobel Prize winning theoretical physicist, and he's basically, his principle can be summed up that science advances one funeral at a time, not one discovery at a time. And that's a sad, sad thing, but it is true. Human ego is a big deal. So the combating of that is kind of imperative. Now, Dave doesn't understand this because Dave is very egotistical and very ego-driven to the point where he really doesn't, borderline scientifically illiterate, and he certainly does not understand how to apply the thinking of science and then put it into the real world, clearly, because he doesn't suss things like this at all. Now, I mean, not to toot my own horn, but applied science is something electricians are kind of good at.
I think we're looking at a civilization, like all civilizations, that emerged out of shamanism. I believe that they did have rather advanced astronomy and a knowledge of the world. But I don't compare, when I speak of a 19th century level of technology, I'm talking specifically about knowledge of longitude. The longitude problem was not solved by our civilization until the middle of the 18th century. I'm talking about knowledge of very hard-to-observe astronomical phenomena, such as the precession of the equinoxes. That knowledge is normally attributed to the ancient Greeks.
And the winner of the backpedaling contest goes to Graham Hancock. By technology, you meant knowledge, Graham, so not technology at all. Knowledge of the equinoxes is definitely not what he means when preaching to his gullible audience, and it makes no sense regardless. Do you have some kind of artifact to support this idea, Graham? A tablet of some kind? Oh, you're just pulling things out of your ass, which is the only thing you ever do? Please continue.
And once again, double standards. Graham does it, it's backpedaling, but if scientists do it, well, and this is scientific method, right? As far as evidence goes, Dave, if you had done the little bit of research that most people that make videos about this stuff do, even the guys with 100 subscribers, you would realize that Göbekli Tepe's Pillar 43 has a very large body of scholarly work from a charlatan, I'm sure you'll say, but he is an archaeoastronomer. That's a whole field of study, by the way, Dave. You should probably look that one up. Archaeoastronomy, it's a real field of study, Dave. You should probably go look into that a little bit before you keep flapping your gums. But anyway, Dr. Martin Sweatman, he's got a whole bunch of work on Göbekli Tepe's Pillar 43. There's also the Orion-Giza correlation, and there's talk about the temples at Malta, although I personally believe the temples at Malta were more oriented with Crux and more in line with, you know, the traditional timeline. But I know, once again, disagreeing with Graham Hancock. Sorry, I'll keep that to a minimum, Dave. I don't want to fuck your confirmation bias up. I'll make it where you're like, you'll have a split personality disorder. You'll be all like Cartman in that one episode with the dog and stuff.
Despite the fact that you're telling us that Clovis First has been debunked since the 1990s, really, and you were taught that it was debunked in the 2000s, we can find New Scientist publishing on this in 2013, questioning the Clovis First model. And those who did question the Clovis First model, I do love your picture of this free and open and generous archaeology, but actually archaeologists can be very, very mean to other archaeologists who disagree with them. And the example of this is Jacques Cinq-Mars, who investigated Bluefish Caves in the Yukon and found evidence of human beings there more than 20,000 years ago. Now, if that evidence were correct, it would blow the Clovis First model out of the water. People are suddenly in America more than 7,000 years before Clovis. The reaction to that was not welcoming. The reaction to that was fury at Jacques Cinq-Mars.
So instead of starting off by responding to Flint's lines of evidence against his made-up civilization, or providing any evidence for a civilization whatsoever, Graham goes on a rant about how mean archaeologists are. That's fitting. By Clovis First, he's talking about the idea that the so-called Clovis culture were the first people to inhabit the Americas, something which was gradually challenged and more or less overturned by new information several decades ago, which Flint acknowledged just before this clip. Graham is whining about how one archaeologist did some stuff and other archaeologists were mean to him. This is the angle Graham chose to start with. Pretty telling, no?
Now, the way that Dave ignores the problems with the Clovis First debacle, it's disgusting. He knows, because he watched the video, that Tom Dillehay had his life basically threatened because of this.
And plus, politically, from time to time, there were some difficult moments. At my home institution later on when I left Chile, a letter was sent to a dean with anonymous signatures of about 24, 25 people saying this guy doesn't even have a PhD, a lie, of course. You should fire him from the university for what he's doing and so on. And another colleague who sent a letter to the newspaper in Chile, one of the major newspapers, saying that Monteverde was creation of the CIA to implant me down there. And, you know, that puts you and your family in a dangerous situation in a country like that at that time. So there were several other unpleasant things. So the whole sociology of the non-scientific part of that enterprise was disturbing at times and made me reveal that there's a small, not a majority, but a minority of people who will do anything in their power to defend their paradigm. It was their career, and they had given decades to it.
But he ignores this and instead claims that Graham is whining about how mean archaeologists are. It's just a simplistic, childish, mewling infant Teletubby-level argument. Again, I don't understand how this gets so much traction, but at any rate, it's anti-science, Dave. You are anti-science, Dave, and I'll give you some examples as to why. Your type of thinking, Graham is telling you why the Clovis First debacle happened. He's explaining it to you, why these things happen, and you ignore it. And then we see those things repeat themselves. The recent SAR data from the pyramid scan, right? Every reason to be skeptical of it. However, SAR data has grown in its capabilities in leaps and bounds over the last 15 to 20 years, and now they're using AI. To say that it can't possibly be accurate is insane, all right? It's a knee-jerk reaction based on an emotional position and your egotistical attachment to that position. You are anti-science, Dave. Don't know what to tell you.
The fact is that Jacques-Saint-Mars was ruined by the archaeological reaction to his discovery. His career was wrecked. His research funding was withdrawn. He was ignored by colleagues in the halls of academia. He was insulted and humiliated. It destroyed his life. But he was right.
First of all, he's just flat out lying about Jacques' career, as anyone can see by reading his obituary. After this particular drama subsided, he continued excavating and working in archaeology for several decades until retiring. But that wouldn't be convenient for his narrative, now would it?
He absolutely had his career ruined. Jacques-Saint-Mars lost his funding and was moved to museum curator instead of field archaeologist. He loved being in the field. He actually found the Bluefish Caves when he was scouting in the off-season, looking for places to excavate when it was time to excavate again. He loved being in the field. And they put him at a desk. Think about your 80s cop movie when they take the loose cannon cop, who's just a little bit too much trouble, and they put him at a desk because it takes him out of the field, but it doesn't fire him, right? That's dramatic, I know, but Dave speaks in emotion and drama, so I figured that, you know, I would give him something non-scientific to sink his teeth into for a minute. Go watch Clint Eastwood movies for a minute, Dave. Let the adults think here. The fact of the matter is, he was ostracized by his colleagues. We'll take the words of his understudy, Heather Pringle. I'm now in a position to state the Bluefish Caves represent the oldest known archaeological site in North America, he told me. But relatively few of Saint-Mars' peers shared his confidence. And as I began regularly attending archaeological conferences in the years following that trip to Bluefish Caves, I saw what Saint-Mars was up against. Sitting in halls with Canadian and American researchers, I witnessed what happened when archaeologists presented data that contradicted the Clovis First model. Often a polite bemusement spread through the room, as if the audience was dealing with some crackpot uncle, or the atmosphere grew testy and tense as someone began grilling the presenter. But once or twice, the mask of professional respect slipped completely. I heard laughter and snickering in the room. Tom Dillahay remembers such conferences well. Some Clovis First people had a suffocating air of defiance and superiority at all times, he says. The article includes the following statement. Did archaeologists in the mainstream marginalize dissenting voices on this key issue? And if so, what was the impact on North American archaeology? Did the intense criticism of pre-Clovis sites produce a chilling effect, stifling new ideas and hobbling the search for early sites? Tom Dillahay, an archaeologist at Vanderbilt University in Tennessee and the principal investigator at the Chilean site of Monte Verde, thinks the answer is clear. The scientific atmosphere, recalls Dillahay, was clearly toxic and clearly impeded science. Now, Dave is ignoring the issue here because it damages his religious-like reverence for science. And he can't have its practitioners being such horrible people. However, it goes without saying that we have people that reject things out of hand the second they see them from emotional perspectives. People like Dave, people like Flint, all kinds of people that are quote-unquote science educators that don't do proper research, that just yell about something, the SAR pyramid data, as I mentioned earlier. And it's been a problem for a very long time. Look at the Comet Research Group, right? The kind of problems that it faces for flying in the face of the rest of the sun. And we can't get a fair shake because of it. We end up with a very polarized mess instead of actual science happening, Dave. If you actually care about science and the scientific method, this should really concern you, Dave. But it doesn't, because you don't really care. You pick and choose your teams with science like you do with everything else in life, with politics. I bet you're one of those people that thinks you can't listen to Taylor Swift unless you're on the far left, and you can't eat at Chick-fil-A unless you're on the far right, right? You're one of those.
Speaking of narratives, it's painfully obvious what Graham is trying to imply here. This one guy discovered something and people didn't believe him at first, but he was right. Therefore, all the fabricated bullshit I spew must also be right. It's so depressing that some people can't see right through this ridiculous act.
No, Dave, you dimwit. He is highlighting the issue that even trained professional archaeologists with all of their ducks in a row and who get proven to be right face. There is skepticism turned cynicism, and it is problematic. It stops and impedes the scientific process. But we can't have that going on. So just protect the abusers, eat the wafer, drink the wine, and shut the fuck up, right?
I don't think there's an archaeological conspiracy against me. I'm not so conceited. I don't imagine there's a conspiracy. I don't think archaeologists are sitting together in a cabal conspiring against me. I think that archaeology is locked into a mindset about the past where my ideas simply seem preposterous.
That's funny, because that's exactly what you just implied 5 seconds ago, and it's definitely what gullible viewers absorbed. Then you backpedal to seem reasonable and charitable. What a great guy, Graham.
Or, hear me out here, maybe his position's a little bit more subtle. Maybe he's complaining about the emotions and the hubris and the, you know, that kind of thing, instead of a big old conspiracy, Dave, you know. I could be wrong about that there, but again, you can't have that because that's a sensible position. So you've got to straw man and make a windmill, I guess you could say, for you to tilt at there, Dave Cajote. Would that be a more accurate way of putting it? I don't know what it is, man, but you like intellectual honesty in you. You got your info from Flint Dibble, didn't you? Yeah, it shows, man. It shows.
And I've recently been with, not all archaeologists are as opposed to my work as you and your colleagues, Flint. But I've been with Marty Parsonen, who's a leading archaeologist studying the Amazon. I've been with Alceu Ranzi, who's a geographer from Brazil, and with Fabio Davaes Filho, who's a LIDAR expert. This is very recently, actually. We did some LIDAR work in that area, and This is the kind of thing that's being found. Huge, enormous earthworks, geoglyphs, which, were we to find them in the West, we would recognize them as almost as henges.
Aw, you did a ride-along. Was it Take Your Children to Work Day? That's cool that you had a little photo op with some real scientists. Did you find any evidence to support your super-advanced Atlantis civilization bullshit? No, just regular archaeology. So this is just a desperate attempt to feign credibility by association that you probably paid for? Cool, bro.
See what I mean? When you're on the wrong team, you can do no right when it comes to Dave. Go out there without scientists, you're a charlatan. Go out there with scientists, you're just a kid on a ride-along. Or you even paid for it, didn't you? Well, what if he did pay for them to go out and use LIDAR and discover a bunch of shit? What a terrible thing. You know, I want to reference those pyramid scans one more time that I talked about earlier in the video. David Koch and the Edgar Cayce Foundation have financed the best carbon dating that we have done on the Giza Plateau. David Koch and the Edgar Cayce Foundation, both of these guys were looking for old dates. Both organizations wanted 10,000-year-old pyramids. That's what they wanted. That's what they were hoping to find. That's not what they found, but they sent real scientists, and they sent them with funding. If you kind of hold hands with pseudoscience, ma'am, you can actually get somewhere in this world, but instead, we get Dave arguing, fighting, and even when Graham spends money and they make real discoveries that Dave can't even argue and claim are pseudoscience, he's still going to cry about it and make jokes and talk shit because that's what he does. It's a fucking grift, man. All he does is, he is the, If you ever go to like a football game and there's like that mascot guy running around and he's like, and he's just getting everybody riled up, but there's really nothing coming out of him. He's just vapid. Maybe he's got some good dance moves. That's about it. That's Dave. Nothing.
I just want to say that I and my wife, Santha, have done a great deal of diving. We did 7 years of scuba diving all over the world. And what we did was we followed up local accounts of underwater structures. Archaeologists tend to argue this is all completely natural. I have done more than 200 dives at Yonaguni. Santha and I risked our lives. We are not dilettantes. We are in this out of conviction. We're in this out of passion for our subject. We've done more than 200 dives at Yonaguni. I've been hands-on with this structure and all the other structures around it, and I am absolutely confident that we're looking at a rock-hewn structure, a natural rock face that was cut and shaped by human beings.
Wow, you guys are such daredevils risking your lives like that. Seriously, scuba diving just barely below the surface in touristy beach areas is almost as dangerous as zip lining. Be careful, you two. Also, about this structure, experts say it's a natural formation. You say it's man-made. Care to elaborate? No? Just gonna brush right past that without mentioning a single thing that supports your claim or refutes what experts say? Shocking.
Once again, it takes like the first page of Google to prove that, you know, Dave didn't do any research here. Yonaguni is actually a very difficult place to dive, from the local company that takes divers out there and charges them money to do it. Required level, advanced with 80 dives. All the dives are drift diving. The sea often gets rough at Yonaguni Island during the wintertime. Also, the current can get strong. It's almost like Graham was telling the truth here, but Dave needed to, you know, pick at it and claim that he lied so that he had something to attack. It's getting kind of, you know, painfully obvious that Dave is just making shit up in order to hurl insults at this point. But let's talk real quickly about Yonaguni, just hypothetically, if it was proven to be man-made. It wouldn't change the perspective on everything right now in the regards that, like, Göbekli Tepe is man-made. So we've already got a megalithic site that's like 12,000 years old or so. So it's not like finding another one's going to be like, oh, well, now all of a sudden Graham Hancock was right. We already know the scientists aren't ever going to say that. So it's not like the Göbekli Tepe, it's not like Yonaguni being potentially man-made is like going to make Graham's books or Graham's position right. However, acknowledging that it could be the case, which most geologists think that it is natural, but there are some geologists that think it's man-made, acknowledging that it could be, that gives Graham credence, and we can't have any of that whatsoever. He's a charlatan. Nothing good can come out of his mouth. He even lies about how hard it is to swim there.
Well, that's interesting because I took a geologist diving there, Wolf Wichman. He's very skeptical. He was skeptical about Yonaguni, but he did confess after we came up from the dive at Kerama that there's no way, in his opinion, that this could have been made by nature.
Oh, but your imaginary friend, the geologist, agrees with you. Well, that changes everything. Did he say why? Did he cite some specific scientific reason that you can repeat for us here? No? Got it.
No, Wolf Wichman is not imaginary. As a matter of fact, the Wikipedia page on Yonaguni mentions him, Dave. Yes, Dave, Wikipedia is a better source of knowledge than your video. Good job. But Wolf Wichman, he's not exactly sure that it's natural. He's not exactly sure that it's man-made. To read what he has to say about it on his little website. On the other hand, it is far more difficult to clearly prove an artificial origin of individual patterns as well as the entire formation. Without a doubt, this task is a challenge for objective archaeology and historical research. In the first place, the possibly existing traces of planned processing would have to be clearly delineated from the forms of natural removal, so that speculation and wishful thinking do not gain the upper hand over clear analysis and interpretation. Now that, my friend, sounds like a scientist.
You would expect that from the historic period.
Yeah, we would. And so I would expect, though, if you're going to make an argument for something like Yonaguni, that it would look like architecture. Maybe even the type of architecture that you have.
Looks like megalithic architecture to me. Looks like rock-hewn architecture. It looks like the rock-hewn areas at Sacsayhuaman, for example. Jamie actually pulled up some pictures.
No, we see many different blocks at Sacsayhuaman. We see multiple courses of blocks stacked
on top of
each other.
Do you know Sacsayhuaman? Have you been there?
No, I've never been there, Graham.
So how can you possibly talk about it?
Because I've seen photos of it.
Well, I've been there dozens of times.
Wait, how can you actually I was there just a few weeks ago.
But let's look at the images so we can discuss this.
Let's look at the images, because Sacsayhuaman is a very complicated site. Yes, there are huge blocks in the zigzag walls of Sacsayhuaman, but there are also huge rock-cut areas with steps in them.
I don't understand how being there lets you talk about it better than me. You've been there as a tourist to see how archaeologists have conserved it and preserved it and presented it for people coming by. That is not the same thing as excavating a site. That is not the same thing with understanding archaeological literature.
Well,
tell me that I've not been there, so I cannot talk about archaeology.
It's obvious that you're ignorant of the site, Flint. You're ignorant of the site because you don't know what the site looks like. You don't know the huge areas that are cut out of solid rock. You just talk about blocks.
Let's not bicker here and let's look at it and discuss it.
Yeah, let's do that.
I've been there and looked at it, so I know more than you. This is hysterical. Graham actually thinks he's dunking on Flint by bragging that his Netflix money lets him run around the world to play Indiana Jones pretend times, while Flint is busy at home doing actual archaeology, and Flint scolding him like he's a toddler is very satisfying.
Flint is unaware that there is a large section of Sacsayhuaman that has bedrock carved into similar floors as this, similar step pattern type of floors as this. Here's an image for you to look at. If Flint was aware, he probably wouldn't have made the argument that he did. And if Dave was aware, he probably wouldn't have made the argument that he did. Flint was making his argument in real time. Dave, what's your excuse? Couldn't Google? Of course, we know what the excuse was. You couldn't Google.
Which is without a doubt the most important soundbite of the entire exchange.
I'm not surprised that we find hunter-gatherer traces underwater. I'm very glad that we do. I would be very surprised if we didn't. But what I'm saying is that not enough of that 27 million square kilometers has been investigated. Only a tiny fraction has been investigated. And that fraction is not enough to draw the conclusion that we can absolutely say there was no lost civilization. Same goes for the Amazon rainforest. Same goes for the Sahara Desert.
But can we say there's no evidence for an advanced civilization in what they have studied?
In what they have studied, yes, we can say there's no evidence for an advanced civilization. In what they have studied, yes, we can say there's no evidence for an advanced civilization. There's no evidence for an advanced civilization. There's no evidence for an advanced civilization. There's no evidence for an advanced civilization.
There's no evidence for an advanced civilization.
Whoops. This should be the part where Joe says, well, then what the fuck are we doing here? It's volumes upon volumes of science from Flint versus but what if my story. It's pathetic, but it gets much worse. Let's get to the accusations.
Graham is speaking of the Amazon rainforest, the submerged continental shelves, and the Sahara. The way that this clip keeps getting bandied about is extremely disingenuous because Graham and Joe make it very clear exactly what they're talking about.
What I'm saying is that not enough of that 27 million square kilometers has been investigated. Only a tiny fraction has been investigated. And that fraction is not enough to draw the conclusion that we can absolutely say there was no lost civilization. Same goes for the Amazon rainforest. Same goes for the Sahara Desert.
But can we say there's no evidence for an advanced civilization in what they have studied?
In what they have studied, yes. We can say there's no evidence for an advanced civilization.
But Flint, and now Dave, ignore the context and declare it a full open win. I'm thinking of this metaphor that I've heard about a pigeon and a chessboard and it shitting on it and saying, I won. I've heard this before somewhere. Can you help me out, Dave? What kind of person is it that does that?
Flint Dibble says Hancock's claims reinforce white supremacist ideas, stripping indigenous people of their rich heritage, and instead giving credit to aliens or white people. Actually, I've never...
Did you really say that?
No, I said that this idea of Atlantis, the way it goes back 200 years, it has been used for those reasons.
So are you saying your quote is incorrect?
I think that it's editing me out of context, Graham. I've never called you a white supremacist or a racist.
No, you've said that, hang on, that's because you're very, if I may say so, very slippery in the way that you deal with, because you know perfectly well that saying that my work encourages white supremacism and encourages racism is going to end up with me being tarred as a racist. And you know very well that tarring somebody as a racist in this day, look, the results there, down there, make no mistake, Hancock is a white supremacist like Trump.
Look at this,
it's racist fiction pretending to
be
science.
These are not my words. But no,
I'm talking about your influence on media and culture.
You cite 19th century sources. You cite 16th century sources. Yeah. And I label those as racist. And I see it as a problem to to readapt those kind of sources without critiquing them, because this idea of a white Atlantis is what existed in the 19th century.
I have Ignatius no such idea.
But you might not, but you're citing those sources uncritically.
Why should I not cite
and
them?
And I never make that the foreground of anything that I write. I put that in there as a paragraph, and I say he should not be citing these kind of sources without critiquing them.
Man, none of Graham's tactics are sticking. Archaeologists don't archaeology enough. Here are thousands of sites, no evidence for your dumb stories. Flint's controlling the media. You're the one with the Netflix show. Flint accused me of being a white supremacist. No, you just reference white supremacist sources and also objectively spew rhetoric that fuels racism.
Now, this is where I get frustrated as fuck, because archaeology itself was built on white supremacy. White people traveled to foreign lands to procure ancient artifacts, and cataloging those stolen treasures led to the study of cultures being looted and their predecessors. For the first third of my life, archaeologists here in the United States were still taking what they wanted more or less from the indigenous Americans, and around the world, there are places where the local governments still do. And many museums around the world still house immorally obtained, illegal goods if they were found today. Now, I want to showcase just where archaeology is right now, since Dave and Flint and everybody wants to be like, oh, Hancock needs to talk about his sources because they're 150 years old and we are so bad. Let's talk about where archaeology is right now. In 2024, a study was commissioned to test the DNA of 15 Easter Island natives, the Rapa Nui people. All of the samples used were as old as possible, mostly collected in 1877, but some were from the 1930s. Every single sample was found in French museums. Not a single one came from the Easter Islands museum collections. Kansas University, the school John Hoops teaches at, has yet to repatriate all of its illegally held Native American artifacts and remains. The Native American Graves and Repatriation Act, NAGPRA, was passed in 1990. I was 15 when the federal government told the tribes that they were going to have the ancestral remains of their people. I'm almost 50 now, and they still don't have them. John Hoops could, you know, he could participate in this, but he's too busy combating pseudoscience and telling Graham Hancock that he needs to check his sources. Meanwhile, tribal bodies protest at Kansas University. Hurry the fuck up and give us back our ancestors. Or take Sir Flinders Petrie, the founding father of Egyptology. In a review of the book on him, University of Toronto Dr. Tristan Samuels says the following. Egyptologists have recently begun thorough discussions of the overt racism of early Egyptology. Challis's work is an important contribution to a growing discussion. Challis is the author of this book. This book, made up of 10 chapters and a foreword by Kathleen L. Shepard, discusses the personal and academic relationship between eugenicist Francis Galton and Egyptologist William Flinders Petrie, with an emphasis on the eugenic thinking in Petrie's intellectual and personal life. In addition, Challis places Petrie's thought within the context of late 19th and early 20th century racial thinking, something archaeologists never seem to do with Hancock's sources. The historical context shows how Petrie's eugenic thinking was both in line and in some cases at odds with the overt racist thinking academic views of his time. Challis shows that Petrie's racist theories played a major role in the linking of anthropology, archaeology, and most notably, Egyptology through his archaeological interpretations. Let's read that last sentence one more time here. Challis shows that Petrie's racist theories played a major role in the linking of anthropology, archaeology, and most notably Egyptology through his archaeological interpretations. So should every paper on Egyptology have a little section at the bottom where they talk about what a horrible person Sir Flinders Petrie was? Should every anthropology paper make sure and mention that, you know, this is the way that we were connected to archaeology and stuff by Sir Flinders Petrie is problematic. We better not have anything to do. No, should every Kansas University paper include a section where they say, hey, we're still trying to catch up with NAGPRA, but we're not quite there yet? No? Almost like this is a bullshit double standard you guys are just using to draw political lines in a discussion about big fucking rocks. That's really what this comes down to. We're talking about pyramids, and you want to turn it into a political issue, so you're trying to find any loose thread that you can, so you make double standard bullshit things up. Meanwhile, the field you work in, but the scientists you worship, those guys, they work at universities quite frequently founded on Native American land to steal their shit, and now they're like, oh, well, we'll post this thing on Twitter that says, Happy Native American Cultural Appreciation Day. We feel so bad that we stole this land and shit, and we're going to be the ones that are brave, and we're going to say that was bad, and sorry, have a nice day. And then you go back to business as fucking usual. It's nice when you're treated as a priest, though, right? Because people will tolerate that kind of bullshit when they worship you.
It's you, not me, who say that that civilization was an empire. It's you, not me, who say that that civilization, had temples and was highly advanced in every point. I don't say that.
You don't say the civilization was highly advanced, Graham? You don't say it had the equivalent of 19th century technology thousands of years ago? That's funny, because yes, you fucking do, all the time.
No matter what Graham says, they're always going to bring it back to you. No. You mean super duper ancient high technology? I don't care what you say. I only care what you say when I can pick at it. When it's actually something defensible or like, nope, that's not what you mean, Grant. I know what you mean. That's not at all what you mean. It's ridiculous, man. I really don't understand how this is even supposed to. It's like, why would you engage in a conversation if you're not willing to like listen to the other party? I really don't make AdSense revenue and you know. Maybe somebody was just like, hey, Professor Dave, if I give you $50, would you make a video? You don't have to do any research.
I'm just intrigued by that. I don't know.
That people look different. Yes.
I don't know what it means exactly, but I do find it intriguing.
And I see this as actually an example of the problems here, because you cite Spanish colonial literature about, say, a white Quetzalcoatl coming. You talk about this
as different kinds
of people. Yes, you do in Fingerprints of
the Gods. We've got to get correct on this. Are you saying that the whole story of the bearded, pale-skinned Quetzalcoatl was a Spanish invention?
Yes, I am. I can show you a depiction of Quetzalcoatl from the pre-Spanish period.
I can show you depictions.
Wait, no, no.
I can show you depictions, too.
No, can I please get the... Here we go. This is Quetzalcoatl on the Borgia Codex. This is from before any Europeans arrived in the New World.
Yeah.
This is on a hide.
Man, you have to hand it to Flint. He really did his prep on this. And Graham's exasperated sigh upon being proven wrong within seconds of making this claim is music to my ears. He's so desperate to distance himself from the notion of white supremacy, yet he refuses to acknowledge what's known about the sources he references that are associated with white supremacy. It's just embarrassing.
It is not known that Quetzalcoatl having a beard and pale skin was something that it was invented by the Spanish. That is a good possibility. However, the beard part, we know for a fact that there are numerous depictions of bearded people, heavily bearded people, in that part of the world in those days. Now, I have said before that it is possible that it was like just a tribe of people that had like a little bit more beard, or maybe they dyed it or something, so it was like what they were known for. You know, it was very common for them to wear like different headdresses and stuff in that part of the world. I've done some research about this stuff. It's crazy, I know. But the thing is, we don't know for sure, and you can't say for sure. So when you just come in, you're like, nope, we know for a fact. It's like, no, dude, it's a fair assertion. It's a fair position to hold. But it's not a debunking position. You certainly cannot say, we know for a fact that that was an invention of the Spanish. It could very well have already been there, and you can be damn sure the Spanish would have grabbed onto it and used it. The problem is, we don't know, because the elite people of the day, the people that other people were like, yes, you're the ones, please, they appealed to their authority. They burnt all the fucking books, man, because they were afraid of people thinking in a manner that was different than them.
This is a toxic, childish attitude that has the potential to bring about the end of human civilization.
He made a post on Twitter falsely suggesting that I taught with the ancestral remains of indigenous people at Dartmouth College.
Over the next couple of days, he had conversations with several people, both YouTubers and my colleagues, who calmly explained that I study and teach about archaeological animal remains, not human remains.
I showed you very little of this because it only takes about 10 seconds to see that Dan is just a shithead con man and internet troll. But all of this harassment towards Flint was getting Dan the attention he so desperately craved, so he just went even harder with it.
Now, I made a mistake that Flint apparently worked through Zoom or the like when he worked at Dartmouth, but it's really funny to me how it turns into, Dan said that I was doing this instead of focusing on the reason that I brought it up to begin with. You guys are going, oh, Graham Hancock is supporting all this white supremacist crap, and then meanwhile, you're working at universities that have immorally obtained illegal to still hold bones, but they're being held by teachers in class going, look at this, isn't this cool? And then you wag your finger at me, not knowing that the bone that you hold might, if that's a finger bone, it might not be a very legal finger bone to be pointing at me. That's the point here, is that you're trying to say we're all the racists, and your priesthood, your the people you put on a pedestal, these guys are still screwing the pooch on this. Again, NAGPRA's 35 years old, okay? And they're still having these problems. And sorry, Dave, because I know you wanted to pin all the racist stuff on me and Jimmy and Graham, but the reality of it is you need to look at the people that you worship, because the guys that wrote the papers that they read and that they cite, they stored bones in their same places too, and a lot of times those were, yeah. You should probably do some fucking research before you make these kinds of videos, Dave, because, man, for you to call yourself Team Science.
But the most disappointing outcome of this was that Joe, who seemed to be receptive to the facts Flint was providing during the debate, then completely greenlit the ridiculous trolling. Graham went back on Joe's show by himself, and together they repeatedly accused Flint of having lied during the debate, completely without basis.
I appreciate that he came on, and I thought it was going to be an interesting discussion, but it turned out he played fast and loose with the truth. Yeah. And distorted quite a bit of information that were some key points that you had discussed, one of them being the amount of shipwrecks.
This is all centered around one figure about a number of shipwrecks that Flint got slightly wrong. It was an enormous number rather than an even more enormous number. That's it.
What? The only evidence of Flint being dishonest is the shipwreck thing, and that's just a decimal point? Mm-hmm. What about the part when he lies about whether or not he implied Hancock was racist or was spreading racism or white supremacy or whatever? What about the part when he lies about how we detect metallurgy in ice cores? What about the part when he lies about plant fertilization? What about... We've been over this before. The fact of the matter is that Flint lied about numerous things, and that's why Joe won't put him back on again. I know that you think Joe's just some dumb dude, bro, that's like, ew, conspiracy theory. But the fact of the matter is that Joe is pretty concerned with the honesty and integrity of the people that he platforms, and will in a heartbeat not air an episode or not platform somebody if he feels they are full of shit. And Flint had the chance. He was sitting on the stage, and all he had to do was be honest about it and properly portray the scientific method, scientific thinking. Had he done that, he may well have won that debate with honesty and integrity. It's quite possible he could have won that debate. Instead, it looked like he won, but it basically is like when you watch the freaking video after the fact and you see the person was cheating. It's, I don't know what else to tell you. So no, Joe won't be platforming Flint, as far as I can tell. I mean, I'm not Joe Rogan. I know him, but it's not like we hang out every night.
The moment that I knew that he was lying about the science was when you asked him about the feralization of plants. That's where they roll back into
yes.
being no longer domesticated. And he was like, oh, it'll just take thousands of years. It's like, no. I've researched this and I know better. And he was just knee-jerking, straight answer, oh, just thousands of years. And when you pressed him, he's like, well, I don't know for sure.
Well, that's a bummer because that's his field of study.
Yeah, Dan has never studied that or anything else a day in his life. He has no idea what he's talking about. More importantly, Flint never claimed that this was his area of expertise. In fact, he explicitly stated that he wasn't positive about any precise time frame and that he would have to look it up. And he referenced the researcher who had published on this phenomenon of domesticated crops going feral.
How long would it take for them to revert back to their original
thousands
state?
Of years again.
Thousands of
yeah,
years
yeah.
again.
Thousands of years.
How many thousands of years, you think?
Well, I don't know because I'd have to look that up because I know that we've observed this kind of stuff, feral, domesticates going feral, but I don't have that off.
And you
the
said
top
how
of my
many
head.
Years from the original till the whole crop?
Something like 3,000 years. Dorian Fuller's actually published a lot on estimating the time ranges
right.
of this.
Dan is just an unqualified buffoon who can't read primary literature. He read genetic studies about wild, domestic, weedy, and feral rice, none of which estimated a time frame for how long it would take for rice to go feral. He also ignored the fact that the genetic bottleneck of a domestication event would show up in subsequent feral strains, so we'd be able to observe an earlier domestication event from a lost civilization, even if feralization later took place.
Once again, you didn't do any research. Rice does show a bottleneck, but it's not very pronounced. It's a lot harder to pin down due to the multiple genetic pathways for seed shattering, which is the primary indicator in rice of it being domesticated. There are multiple genetic pathways for rice to shatter its seeds and or to shatter them less slowly, I should say. And so being that that's the first thing we look for is the inhibition of these, we actually see in some species of rice that this has happened twice, that it's been stopped and started and stopped again, almost like it was domesticated, feralized, and domesticated a second time. Now, that could be wrong, but to just assert that it is wrong? My friend, read the papers that I sourced in my videos on this stuff, man. The fucking science papers, right? Did you read them? Of course not. You just read the title. You look for a little piece that debunked what you... And you post it on the screen and run with it, man. You are the laziest person I've ever responded to, Dave. Seriously. Hands down, the laziest person I've ever responded to.
And these stones are placed in the terrace of a platform of a Roman temple. Excavators found material Roman culture under them, so they were placed by the Romans, not an earlier civilization. You can't have an older civilization on top of a newer one. It's called the law of superposition. Anyone who knows the first thing about archaeology knows this, which excludes Jimmy.
Now, he's talking about Baalbek here, the site I mentioned earlier, and Dave is, you know, he's certain that it's Roman, and even though it didn't use the Roman foot, which is pretty much an almost ubiquitous feature in Roman construction. And there's another issue with the parts of Baalbek that are questioned. It's not the entire site, by the way. I've got a video on it. You can go check out if you'd like. But the thing that's important to mention here is where he talks about this broken column drum being found under the foundation, and that's not exactly accurate, which is why you see him using... That's an AI answer, isn't it? Yeah. Good job, Dave. Totally not lazy. See, the thing is, it was found a long time ago in the enclosure, and it's hard to say whether or not it was under or not because the records are a little shit. So we don't know for sure, but the debunkers like to say that because it would make it easy and cake, and Baalbek's a little bit of a pain in the ass because a guy like me who is skeptical of ancient high technology does have to admit that Baalbek does push the limits of what they had, especially if you look at how troublesome it was for them to move the Thunderstone. There's a video there. This happened in Catherine the Great's time, stones slightly bigger than the stones at Baalbek, and it required the cutting-edge metallurgy and a lot of trial and error for them to be able to do it. So it doesn't mean for sure that they had to have that stuff back in the day, but it does show that the problems that it took 200 years ago, 300 years ago, the problem-solving that it took back then was certainly not something the Romans had available, and it was very, very difficult. So anyway, point is, what Dave's saying here, we don't know for sure. Once again, and that's why he's giving us the AI answer.
And there are white supremacists who specifically reference Graham in order to convince people that white civilizations were responsible for indigenous monuments.
I like Hancock. It's kind of like listening to like some Third Reich archaeology, but without any of the baggage, so that I can watch it with somebody else. It's actually a good way of kind of introducing somebody to white superiority, is you'll be like, hey, what do you think of this book? And then you give them a copy of that. And if they agree with it, then that means maybe they're open up to reading maybe something like March of the Titans or what have you later on. But it's a nice little intro to racialism.
Jesus fucking Christ, Dave, this is pathetic, okay? I almost didn't want to put this part in the video because I hate how much I'm having to talk about this, but here's the deal. Some people are going to fall for this shit, so I need to explain it in a way that even the simplistic will understand, Dave. No matter what ideology you espouse, there will be a percentage of those people that are insane. Pick your left-wing or right-wing spicy ideology of the modern day and tell me you haven't heard plenty of sensible people espousing it and some nut jobs espousing it too, saying some things that are like, oh, you want to do what to the people and put them in what? Re-education camps, huh? Sterilization, huh? Okay. Really? The people that think like Dave would have been, if he was on the 700 Club when I was a kid, he would have been telling me that Dungeons and Dragons was a horrible thing because some guys get into devil worship and they, you know, hurt themselves. And they played Dungeons and Dragons, and they talked about Dungeons and Dragons, and therefore that just means Dungeons and Dragons leads to those things. So thanks a lot, Dave. You are totally picking up the torch of some very intellectual giants of our past. I'd really like to point that one out real quick. Bottom line is, there are people that don't look into the nuanced side of things. There are people like the racists that will steal anything, like Pepe the Frog or the Moon Man. The lack of nuance, what are you going to do, man? You can't stop people from hijacking things like that. I mean, because the FBI's crime statistics don't include any of the, like, you know, these people grew up in poorer homes and these people had less education and blah, 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 and blah. It's just crime statistics. Racists love that shit. Do we have a problem with the FBI gathering crime statistic data? No? Okay. This is bullshit, Dave. This is fucking bullshit. You're blaming a tiny little section of humanity, and you're letting a tiny little section of humanity hijack Hancock's entire body of work in your mind, and it's fucking gross. Plenty of people that espouse evolution are also racist. Does that mean evolution is racist? You fucking idiot.
Well, we wanted to talk about Göbekli Tepe, and Göbekli Tepe is not just fascinating in its construction, but also in the timeline, because the timeline fucked everything up.
Oh,
I remember when Graham Hancock and Zawi Hawass were having that big debate with that other guy who's an archaeologist. The American guy's very smug. But he's like, what evidence do you have of a civilization that lived 10,000 years ago? Well, you have one now.
Yeah.
So you have to shut the fuck up because you were wrong.
Ah, yes. Göbekli Tepe, every Rogan bro's favorite pseudo-intellectual flex. Joe is pretending that Graham was part of some kind of debate over this site when it was discovered in 1963 and began serious excavation in the 1990s. For those of you who aren't aware, it's a very interesting site that shows larger scale settlements prior to agriculture, which caused us to revise our thinking about agriculture being a necessary condition for larger settlements to form. Of course, any slight revision of archaeological knowledge to these dingbats equals C, the establishment is wrong and dumb and closed-minded and conspiracy, and we idiots are more better than the smart people. It's so pathetic.
Dave, it was not known to anybody but those intimate with the site until the early 2000s. Graham would have mentioned it in Fingerprints of the Gods if it was, like, well-known at all. And when it did become more commonly known, it was because Graham was promoting it. Because not long before that, Egyptologist Mark Lenner, the smug Egyptologist that Joe referred to there, said something along the lines of, show me the civilization that was making megaliths 10,000 years ago in regards to the Sphinx. And so Graham had a smoking gun. So now all of a sudden he starts talking about Göbekli Tepe a lot. And this is like well known, man. This is like if you're not going to find this on Wikipedia. Wikipedia will tell you basically that Göbekli Tepe did change how we look at hunter-gatherers and the advancement of human society, but it won't tell you that the history of Graham Hancock's side of things, and understandably so, but if you're going to make a video on that, you're going to have to dig a little bit, my friend, or just ask Flint Dibble. It's up to you.
They talk about this for a long time, pretending the site is comparable to Babylon, which housed hundreds of thousands of people, complaining about how little of it is excavated, as though that's some huge conspiracy, rather than following good archaeological practice of not damaging important sites. The whole nine yards.
Yeah, Dave, they're damaging the site over there. Jimmy Corsetti and Mike Collins just got back from fucking Göbekli Tepe, and they've got plenty of smoking gun evidence of the site being damaged. So, yeah. Do some research.
When I did the debunking of Flint Dibble's debunking of Graham, the part about the metallurgy, I spoke with an ice core specialist. And now there ain't but a handful of these dudes on the planet. Literally just a handful
of
people.
That was a very important part of your debunking.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate that.
You're the guy that blew the roof on that. Yeah. You're the guy that contacted firsthand.
Well, let's explain what you did.
Well, I spent an hour on a Zoom chat with the dude because what Flint had said was that there was no proof of metallurgy in the Ice Age. And, well, of course, there's no proof of it, but he said that we can prove definitively there was no metallurgy. And that's where it's like, well, no, because they look for levels of lead. And levels of lead, that graph you just showed with the interglacial periods, lead follows that because when there's more dust on the ground, the reason they believe is there more dust on the ground, more gets kicked up, more ends up in the glaciers. But that's the same dirt that would be kicked up if they were digging for iron, right? So either way, you're going to end up with more lead in the glaciers. So I talked to this ice core specialist for an hour on Zoom, and I'm like, man, so flesh this out for me. Explain to me. So he explains to me how they determine whether or not lead's from an anthropogenic origin or if it's natural, and that's based on if there's an archaeological site that they can match the other isotopes to. He went through all the troubles with it. He even lamented having, he's got other people in his field that are hardcore anti-pseudoscience because they're, you know, climate change deniers are dealing with. And so he's like, some of these guys are just too zealous, overzealous with it. I get where you're coming from. But then I put the video out and Flint contacts the dude. And next thing you know, well, you know, I didn't exactly say it. He doesn't change what he says. He just kind of implies that I wasn't quite being accurate. He doesn't give a full anything. It makes it vague all of a sudden, and it's quite clear. He was pressured from a fucking archaeologist. He's a climate scientist. Why do you care? Because they're all part of the same little...
More dishonesty. A baseless claim that scientists don't do isotope analysis on lead in the Pleistocene when they absolutely do.
I literally just said that they do isotopic analysis. It's like, what the fuck are you talking about, man? They dig up an archaeological site and they're like, oh, these guys look like they were working metal. And they can find which way the trade winds or whatever would have deposited whatever isotopes are the dust from the site and put it in a glacier. And then they go find those same isotopes and they'll compare them and they'll be like, ah, this site's isotopes. This glacier has same isotopes. Dust from site went to glacier. That is the isotopic analysis they do, Skippy. So I don't know where the hell you get the idea that they don't do isotopic analysis. Now, as what I said. Now, it is true that there are isotopes that you will find in more advanced metallurgy that are definitely associated with metallurgy, period, end of story. However, for more primitive metallurgy, that ain't how it works, bro. They look for lead. And this is, again, the same shit you kick up when the winds blow dust off the ground. If the winds are blowing more dust or somebody is digging a bunch of dust up, it could very well show up the same in the ice cores. So when you have these repeated spikes of lead in the Ice Age, and Flint says we can prove definitively there was no metallurgy in the Ice Age, those two things are mutually exclusive. Those repeated spikes, every one of them could potentially be metallurgy. It would be primitive metallurgy, but it could potentially be. Now, I don't believe in ancient metallurgy. Flint doesn't believe in ancient metallurgy. Graham doesn't believe in ancient metallurgy, but the difference is Flint is going about this from a debunker's perspective and not a scientific one while he's professing to represent science. And in the end of the day, it's gotten so bad that he still misinforms the public on how they determine whether or not metallurgy occurs using isotopes. It's gross.
And Dan is objectively misrepresenting the ice core scientist. No cabal of elites pressured him into recanting. Dan misrepresented the scientist. Here he is in this tweet explicitly stating that Flint did not lie and that there is no evidence for an early advanced civilization in the ice core record, which in fact acts as evidence against such a civilization existing. Here are several articles which also describe how they do test ice cores in this manner. Listen to multiple experts who specifically work in this area for a living, or blindly believe some random jerk with a hobo beard. Take your pick.
No. As the screenshot shows, he waffled. And the fact of the matter is, I spent an hour on a Zoom chat with the guy for a reason. I didn't want to be wrong. I wanted to put data out that was accurate. I didn't want to waste an hour of my life. In fact, I wanted to make sure that what I was asking was correct. And he if you look at what he said, he waffled. He didn't denounce what I said. Furthermore, the screenshot you show does say exactly, basically what I said, that they are comparing the isotopes from the site to the isotopes that they find in the ice. That's how this is done. Dave, you are literally teaching people wrong things about science in order to debunk pseudoscience. You should probably fucking do some research here, man, because this is where things get goofy. What I'm saying here isn't electric universe. It isn't flat earth. What I'm saying specifically about these lead isotopes is 100% accurate. Go fucking look it up.
Both of these jerks have really been making the rounds as of late, and as they get more popular, their lies become bolder and more negligent of reality. Here they are on another podcast, spewing more bullshit about the pyramids.
You know, what's far more out there is suggesting that it was a tomb for the pharaohs. Like, they've never...
Oh, Flynn Dibble.
Yeah, they have never found... Never mind, they never found a mummy in any Egyptian pyramid ever.
This is such an easily Googleable and objectively false statement that it's impossible to treat them as anything but piece of shit trolls. Sarcophagi, human remains, parts of mummies, funerary goods, and more. This is so extensively well documented, obviously in the primary literature, but even in museums that everyone has access to. Who the fuck is their audience here that they just eat up crap like this? The pyramids are tombs. Get over it.
And although look at the list that he shows on the screen. None of the pharaohs were found. None of the royal burials are in the big pyramids. There's a couple of the mud brick piles of shit, and yeah, we found bodies in a couple of those. But when they opened sealed royal sarcophagus found in the tomb of Heterethres, the sarcophagus was empty. There is reason to believe the portcullis doors on the Great Pyramid were designed for repeated use.
So, yeah. I mean, my impression was this. So I had heard, before I did this piece, I was aware of the debate, but I didn't watch it. I wasn't even aware of, like, Dan or Jimmy or any of these other people. So digging into this has been very fascinating.
In all honesty, well, Dave's attitude is shit, and I'm of the opinion that his, if his real intended consequence of his making videos, real intended end result is to, you know, change the way people think so that we don't run off the anti-science cliff and destroy ourselves. Seems to me he would, you know, try that whole, like, honey instead of vinegar thing. I understand being a little spicy to make fun content, but the vapid insults, I mean, they rapidly wear thin, and it's just shitty. But anyway, his information he got here... If I was going to make a video on archaeology and I was going to debunk it and I didn't really know anything about it, I was going to debunk some pseudo-archaeologists, I would ask an archaeologist, right? I mean, that makes sense. I wouldn't ask an electrician. But he made the mistake of asking an archaeologist. It's well known for, you know, being a little bit fast and loose with the facts, as Joe says it. I'm being a big fat fucking liar, as I say it. But at any rate, he's not a very honest person when it comes to how he portrays the data. He's more concerned with his own portrayal of himself, his ego, and how he looks to the world. That, my friend, is why you got misinformed. So, Dave, I just want to let you know, I do blame you for making a lazy, shitty video. But you could, honestly, I blame Flint for informing you wrong. Clearly, he was the only source of information you used, and it was bad. And it shows so much. I mean, I didn't know where to stop. It took so long to make this video because normally when I cut a video up to respond to it, it's like I watch a piece and I'm like, okay, this is, you know, whatever. He was more or less right here, or he didn't say anything stupid here or whatever. But with you, it was literally every section. When I was done chopping the video up, I'd lost like 15, 20 minutes of the 2+ hour runtime in your video, Dave. Everything you said was either stupid or wrong, or both. And it was really difficult for me to decide which ones to respond to and which points to just leave floating around. So if you guys, any of you that are really, like, insane, he did get more wrong, if you want to go point and laugh at him about that, or maybe I'll make a short or two out of it down the road, but most of the stuff was not as wrong as the things that I pointed out here, my dear God. 50 Shades of Wrong, starring Dave, totally Professor Dish Sickle, whatever. I'll be nicer to him than he's been to me. Anyway, thank you so much for watching. I'm sorry this video took as long out to get as it did, but there was a lot to respond to. And since I've been back from Sedona, I have had a lot of things on my plate. However, I'm going to be working on more videos here soon, so they're coming. Click buttons down below. I don't know if I'll ever respond to Dave again. Probably not. I mean, we'll see. But I'm not really into the just open insult stuff with no, like, he didn't say anything of substance. Like, literally, the only reason I'm making this is because so many people expected it, and because he's got such a big following that it's just like, okay, dude, I got to point out. But this is the kind of... this is the kind of dumb shit that if he had a similar subscriber count to me, I would even ignore it. I'd just be like, dude, this is fucking stupid. Get out of here with that crap. Come back when you've got some basic fucking research under your belt. But since he's such a big boy, we'll go ahead and show that. Well, as far as professional debunkers goes, Professor Dave Explains is hands down the laziest, probably least cordial, definitely rudest, and kind of dumb. Maybe not dumb, but borderline scientifically illiterate. He don't quite get how science works. He's 60% religious fundamentalist, 40% skeptic. Thank you very much, and have a good day.